Persil sorgt schon seit 1907 für tiefenreine Wäsche, auch bei den Johnsons, oder Anna?
Das stimmt. Sogar meine Oma hat schon mit Persil gewaschen.
Und als Dankeschön für über 100 Jahre Vertrauen gibt's jetzt bis zu 15 Euro Rabatt auf unser Bestes.
Das mit der roten Schleife.
Genau, made in Germany. Mehr Infos auf unserbestes.persil.de.
Wenn es tiefenrein ist, ist es Persil.
Du willst beides. Aktives Fondsmanagement und die Vorteile eines ETFs? Xtrackers aktive ETFs liefern genau das, die Verbindung von smartem Portfolio-Management mit effizienter ETF-Struktur. Kosteneffizient und mit dem Potenzial für Überrenditen. Aktive Strategie trifft auf ETF-Effizienz. Informiere dich jetzt auf xtrackers.de. Zusammenwachsen. Investitionen unterliegen Risiken. Werbemitteilung herausgegeben von der DWS International GmbH mit Sitz in Frankfurt.
Get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore!
We must not allow ourselves to be intimidated. Our task is not only to win the battle, but to win the war.
I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Take a look at this country through her eyes if you really want to see something.
You'll see the whole parade of what man's carved out for himself after centuries of fighting.
You're out of order! You're out of order! The whole trial is out of order!
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature! And you will atone!
Seeking truth and justice in a battleground of deception and corruption, this is The Richard Serrett Show.
Hey, welcome to The Richard Serrett Show. Mark Carney and his liberal cronies have just plunged Canada into an economic abyss, goading President Donald Trump into a trade war we cannot win by imposing a digital services tax on American tech giants set to take effect on June 30th. They've triggered a furious response from the leader of our greatest trading partner. Trump, via Truth Social, announced the immediate termination of all trade discussions with Canada, branding the DST, digital services tax, a blatant attack on America and tying it to our 400% dairy tariffs that have long choked U.S. farmers. His counterpunch? Tariffs on Canadian goods. Details coming within days. This isn't a diplomatic spat. It's a self-inflicted wound that threatens to gut our economy, and the blame lies squarely with the globalist ideologues in Ottawa. The DST, retroactive to 2022, targets firms like Google, Microsoft, and others aiming to extract $7.2 billion over 5 years per the Parliamentary Budget Officer. Finance Minister François-Philippe Champagne, Carney's loyal sidekick, ignored years of warnings and pressed ahead, betting Trump was bluffing. Well, they miscalculated. The U.S. accounts for 75% of our exports and 50% of our imports, our economic lifeline. Retaliatory tariffs could devastate automotive, energy, agricultural, and small business sectors, while spiking consumer prices for families already crushed by liberal-fueled inflation and housing costs. This tax doesn't just hit American companies, it's a tax on Canadian innovation, competitiveness, and survival. Let's start with the economics. The DST applies to companies with over 750 million euros in global revenue and at least $20 million in Canadian digital revenue, covering online marketplaces, advertising, social media, and user data sales. Sounds like a cash grab to make web giants pay their fair share. But here is the reality. Those costs boomerang back to Canadians. Google's already tacking on a 2.5% DST surcharge for advertisers, meaning small businesses, your local bakery, your startup tech firm, your family-run retailer, pay more to market online. This isn't fairness. It's a shakedown that makes Canadian companies less competitive in a global digital economy. The Liberals claim the revenue will fund Canadian culture and news, but at what cost? Higher prices for consumers, reduced investment in our tech sector, and a looming trade war that could send shockwaves through every industry. Consider the sectors at risk. Ontario's auto industry, employing tens of thousands, relies on seamless U.S. trade. Tariffs could halt production, sending jobs to Michigan or Mexico. Alberta's energy sector, already battered by Liberal pipeline delays, faces new barriers to U.S. markets, threatening investment and growth. Agriculture, particularly dairies in the crosshairs. Those 400% tariffs Trump railed against have long been a sore point, and further retaliation could cripple farmers from Quebec to Manitoba. Small businesses, the backbone of our economy, will struggle with higher digital advertising costs, unable to compete with global players. Even our tech sector, a bright spot in Canada's economy, risks losing American investment as firms pull back. Consumers, brace for pricier Netflix subscriptions, online shopping, and everyday goods as costs cascade. This disaster was foreseeable. As far back as 2021, analysts warned that a unilateral DST, especially one applied retroactively, would provoke U.S. retaliation. The U.S. Trade Representative has been explicit. They'll use every tool to counter discriminatory taxes. Even Joe Biden raised concerns about DSTs. Trump's merely acting on them. Canada broke ranks with an OECD moratorium on new DSTs, rejected an extension, and plowed forward, ignoring allies and inviting conflict. The Liberals could have followed the UK's model, embedding the tax in a broader trade deal, or delayed implementation to negotiate. Instead, they chose defiance, dismissing risks as bluff. Now, with Trump's tariffs looming, they've left Canada exposed, economically vulnerable, and diplomatically isolated. Mark Carney, the self-styled Trump whisperer, is no master strategist. He's a globalist poster boy, more comfortable at Davos than defending Canada's interests. His resume, Bank of Canada, Bank of England, World Economic Forum darling, reads like a love letter to elites, not a blueprint for Canadian prosperity. And under his watch, the Liberals have prioritized ideological crusades over practical governance. The DST isn't about fairness. It's about posturing, signaling to anti-American elites in Europe that Canada's on their side. But again, at what cost? Our economic security, our jobs, our future. Carney's government ignored warnings, dismissed bipartisan U.S. opposition, and bet our economy on a losing hand. This isn't leadership. It's recklessness. The U.S. isn't just a trading partner. It's the foundation of our modern existence. From the fur trade to the auto pact, from NORAD to NAFTA, our histories are intertwined, our economies inseparable. In 1812, we stood firm against American invasion. In World War I and World War II, we fought alongside them for freedom. But today, the threat isn't external. It's the enemy within, cloaked in liberal red. Carney's agenda seems hell-bent on driving a wedge between us and our greatest ally, all to burnish his globalist credentials. Why? To appease the OECD? To curry favor with Brussels? Or is it simply incompetence, a failure to grasp the stakes of antagonizing a president who's proven he'll defend American interests with an iron fist? The broader implications are chilling. A trade war could tip Canada into recession, eroding our global competitiveness and undermining our security. The U.S. is our defense partner through NORAD, our bulwark against threats like China's growing influence. By poking the American eagle, Carney risks not just our economy, but our geopolitical standing. Higher prices will hit families already struggling with inflation and a housing crisis, both exacerbated by liberal policies. Small businesses already battered will face higher costs to compete online. Our tech sector, a hub of innovation, could see venture capital dry up, and our farmers, demonized for protectionist tariffs, could face further punishment. This isn't just a policy misstep, it's a betrayal of every Canadian who relies on our U.S. partnership. The Liberals' rhetoric about making web giants pay is hollow. Tech firms already remit sales tax on digital services in Canada. The DST goes further, taxing revenue to fund pet projects like Canadian film and news subsidies, projects that do little for the average worker. It's a complex, overreaching tax that ensnares not just tech giants, but any digital platform, from eBay to Uber. The result? A bureaucratic nightmare that raises costs for businesses and consumers while inviting retaliation. Canada's decision to go it alone, defying international consensus, isolates us from allies and paints a target on our back. What's the alternative? Strategic patience. Canada could have waited for a global DST framework, reducing the risk of retaliation. We could have negotiated with Trump, leveraging our shared interests. Instead, the Liberals chose confrontation, gambling with our economic future. Now, with tariffs looming, we face a stark choice. Hold Carney accountable or watch our economy crumble. This isn't about hating America. It's about loving Canada, our jobs, our communities, our way of life. Trump's defending his nation. Our leaders should defend ours. Call your MP. Demand answers. Tell the liberals their globalist experiment is over. The tariffs are coming. The jobs are at risk. And Canada's future hangs in the balance. We deserve better.
Hey, denk dran, dass auch dein Immunsystem Hunger hat. Und probier's mal mit den Gesundheitszielen zur Ernährung in der App AOK Navida. Hol dir Tipps, Rezepte und Challenges für dein gesünderes Ich. Jetzt die App AOK Navida downloaden und loslegen. AOK Plus. Aus Liebe zur Gesundheit.
Jedes Business hat Ambitionen und PayPal Open ist die Plattform, um sie wahr werden zu lassen. So können Sie als HändlerInnen bezahlt werden, wie Ihre Kundschaft es möchte. Und egal wo, online, im Laden oder unterwegs. Und wenn es Zeit ist zu wachsen, bietet PayPal ein Netzwerk aus Hunderten von Millionen PayPal-NutzerInnen weltweit. Und schnelle Finanzierungsoptionen und Tools, damit Sie ganz locker expandieren können. Das ist PayPal Open. Eine Plattform für alle Arten von Business. Erfahren Sie mehr auf paypalopen.de.
News not in the news.
Welcome back to the Richard Serrett Show. In Ontario, a seismic shift is underway. On June 27th, Education Minister Paul Calandra announced that the provincial government is seizing control of four major school boards. The Toronto District School Board, the Toronto Catholic District School Board, the Ottawa Carleton School Board, and the Dufferin Peel Catholic School Board. This follows the takeover of the Thames Valley District School Board back in April, bringing the total to five boards now under provincial oversight. The reason? Rampant financial mismanagement and deficits that threaten the very foundation of education. Investigations revealed a litany of failures. The TDSB rejected nearly half of proposed cost-saving measures, and the Toronto Catholic District School Board tripled its in-year deficit. The Ottawa Catholic District School Board burned through its reserves entirely, and the Dufferin Peel Catholic District School Board stands on the brink of bankruptcy. Calandra has appointed supervisors to supplant elected trustees, paused curriculum changes to ensure consistency, and issued a stern warning to all boards: prioritize classroom resources or face intervention. NDP leader Merritt Stiles has cried foul, accusing the Ford government of a power grab fueled by $6 billion in alleged education cuts since 2018, while the Ontario Secondary School Teachers Federation echoes her claims, decrying underfunding as the root cause. Now, as a conservative, I stand and applaud this move with every fiber of my being. These school boards aren't just financially insolvent, they're ideologically corrupt, rotting from within with the poison of woke dogma. They've turned classrooms into indoctrination hubs, peddling identity politics, revisionist history, and divisive nonsense over reading, writing, and arithmetic. The Toronto District School Board's rejection of cost-saving measures isn't incompetence, it's defiance, a refusal to prioritize students over bureaucratic bloat. The Toronto Catholic District School Board's tripling deficit and Dufferin Peel's near collapse are betrayals of the public trust, a squandering of the sacred duty to educate our children. And let's not stop at these five. Boards like Durham and Halton Region are equally guilty, churning out graduates fluent in grievance culture but illiterate in critical thinking. Doug Ford's intervention is a clarion call, but it's only the beginning. I believe education is a sacred stewardship, not a playground for social experiments. The province must go further, much further. Seize every compromised board, from Durham to Peel to Halton and beyond. Purge the woke ideologues masquerading as educators. Empower parents, restore truth to the curriculum, and dismantle the stranglehold of progressive orthodoxy. NDP leader Stiles' complaints about underfunding are a tired dodge. These boards have been entrusted with billions and failed. If they can't manage, they don't deserve more. This is a fight to reclaim our schools, to ensure they serve our children, not the agendas of cultural Marxists. Doug Ford must wield this authority like a sword, cutting through the rot until our education system is worthy of its calling. Out in Alberta, Premier Danielle Smith has thrown down a gauntlet that reverberates across the nation. In an exclusive interview with Juno News, she demanded that Prime Minister Mark Carney repeal anti-Alberta legislation like Bill C-48, that's the Oil Tanker Moratorium Act, and Bill C-69, the No New Pipelines Law. She's demanding these be repealed by the end of fall 2025. Her warning comes as separatist sentiment surges, with the Republican Party of Alberta securing 15.6% of the vote in a recent by-election for the old Stidsbury Three Hills riding, an historic high for an independence party. Smith called out federal policies like the net zero car mandate set to begin in January 2026, which mandates 20% of car sales be zero emission vehicles. She labeled it idiotic, noting that Canada relies on Chinese-made electric cars, which face a 100% tariff, and that Alberta's 200,000 annual car purchases make the mandate unfeasible. Smith warned that Albertans' patience is time-limited, giving Carney until September to act or face growing calls for autonomy. She accused Ottawa of creating the separatist sentiment by stifling Alberta's energy sector, a cornerstone of Canada's economy. As an anti-globalist, I'm cheering Premier Smith's defiance from the rooftops. Alberta isn't just fighting for its oil industry, it's fighting for the soul of Canada, for the right to self-determination against a federal government that's sold out to globalist elites. Bills C-48 and C-69 aren't just anti-energy, they're anti-prosperity, designed to choke a province that powers our nation while Ottawa bows to international climate agendas. Carney, with his Davos pedigree, embodies the disconnected elite, pushing policies that cripple Alberta's ability to thrive. The net zero mandate is a perfect example of this madness, demanding electric vehicles that don't exist in sufficient numbers, sourced from a geopolitical rival, while devastating Ontario's auto industry in the process. The 15.6% separatist vote isn't a fringe outburst. It's a warning that Albertans are done being Ottawa's punching bag. As a defender of Western civilization, I see Danielle Smith stand as a defense of the principle that built the West, the right to govern oneself, to harness one's resources, to chart one's destiny. But she must be relentless. Negotiation is a start, but if Carney doubles down, Alberta should explore every option, legal challenges, constitutional battles, even the specter of separation. The West thrives on freedom, not subservience to a distant capital that's lost touch with its people. Smith's ultimatum is a beacon of hope, but it's also a call to arms. Alberta must hold the line, and we must stand with her. The debate over medical assistance and dying, made in Canada, cuts deep, striking at the heart of our moral foundation. And last week, Conservative MP Tamara Jansen tabled Bill C-218, a private member's bill to amend the criminal code to exclude mental disorders as a qualifying condition for euthanasia. Set for debate in November 2025, the bill challenges the 2021 expansion of MAID under Bill C-7, which allowed eligibility for non-terminal conditions, including a delayed provision for mental illness alone, now postponed to March 2027. Public support for mental illness-based euthanasia is dwindling, with polls showing only 28-31% approval. And with MAID already the fifth leading cause of death in Canada, the urgency is palpable. Jansen's bill clarifies that mental disorders do not meet the grievous and irremediable threshold, aiming to protect the vulnerable from a policy that risks normalizing death as a solution to despair. Life is a sacred gift. It's inviolable and divine. To offer euthanasia for mental illness isn't compassion. It's a surrender to despair, a betrayal of the Western tradition that holds every soul as precious. MAID's rise to the fifth leading cause of death is a moral indictment of a nation adrift, and Stats Canada's refusal to fully report its toll only deepens the suspicion that this is ideology, not mercy, at work. Bill C-218 is a firewall against this madness, a desperate attempt to halt a slide toward a society that discards the suffering rather than uplifting them. The fact that only a third of Canadians support this expansion shows the public senses the abyss we're approaching. Jansen's bill must pass, but its fate rests with a parliament often swayed by optics over ethics. As conservatives, we must rally behind it, demanding that our leaders reject this death cult and reaffirm the sanctity of life. If we normalize euthanasia for mental illness, we erode the very foundation of our humanity, paving the way for a dystopia where the vulnerable are expendable. This is a fight for our moral core, and we cannot waver. Across the border, New York City faces a reckoning that threatens its status as a global economic powerhouse. Zohran Mamdani, a democratic socialist, has emerged as the frontrunner in the mayoral race after winning the Democratic primary. His platform is a laundry list of progressive fantasies, raising the minimum wage to $30 by 2030, hiking corporate taxes to 11.5%, imposing a 2% tax on millionaires, building 200,000 rent-stabilized homes, offering free childcare, eliminating bus fares, and creating city-owned grocery stores. New York City, which generates $1.2 trillion annually, 4.6% of U.S. GDP, cannot afford this experiment. Billionaire Bill Ackman has sounded the alarm, warning that Mamdani's policies would drive out wealth creators and cripple the city's business-friendly environment. He's pledged to fund a centrist challenger to stop this socialist tide. I see Mamdani's rise as a symptom of a culture unmoored from reality. Socialism promises free childcare, free buses, state-run groceries. These are siren songs that wrecked nations from Venezuela to the Soviet Union. New York City isn't a petri dish for Marxist experiments. It's the economic capital of the world, built on free markets, innovation, and hard work. Mamdani's plans, rent freezes, tax hikes, and city-owned stores ignore the lessons of history. Central planning breeds scarcity, not prosperity. Ackman's right. Socialism has no place here. The wealthy who fund the city's services through their taxes are already eyeing the exits. If they leave, New York will collapse under the weight of its own promises. This isn't just an economic fight, it's a cultural one. Mamdani's vision rejects the virtues that define the West: personal responsibility, merit, and liberty, in favor of a collectivist fantasy that's doomed to failure. New Yorkers must reject this folly and choose a leader who respects the city's role as a beacon of capitalism. The stakes are global, and the West can't afford to lose this battleground. These stories, Ontario's schools, Alberta's defiance, Canada's euthanasia crisis, and New York's socialist gamble, are threads in a tapestry of cultural and civilizational decline. The woke ideologues in our schools, the globalists in Ottawa, the relativists pushing euthanasia, and the socialists threatening our economic hubs aren't just misguided, they're dangerous. They seek to dismantle the foundations of the West: local sovereignty, moral clarity, economic freedom, and the sanctity of life. As conservatives, as Christians, as guardians of our heritage, we must fight back. Ford must crush the woke stranglehold on education, seizing every compromised board and restoring truth to our classrooms. Smith must hold Ottawa accountable, pushing for Alberta's autonomy with unrelenting resolve. Janssen must rally Parliament to protect the vulnerable from MAID's moral abyss. And New Yorkers must reject Mamdani's socialism before it turns their city into a cautionary tale. The future of Western civilization hangs in the balance. Let's stand firm, speak truth, and reclaim our legacy with unyielding courage. I'll speak to you again real soon. In the meantime, I remain unbowed, unbent, unbroken.